This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Savor are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about artichokes.
I love artichokes.
Oh yeah, me too. Me too.
Lauren got to see me do a little bit of a happy dance before this one.
Yeah.
I don't have them very often. And so every time I see them on a menu, I'm like, oh, yes.
It is pretty rare to see them on menus here on the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not like I couldn't get them. And I did. I followed in the wake of our very smart listeners. And I already bought some artichokes in preparation for the craving. I'm going to make this pasta my mom and I used to make, because that was kind of the thing, is like my mom and I liked them and nobody else in our family really did. So we didn't eat them a lot.
Sure.
But we would make this pasta with artichokes and capers and lemon, and it was so good and so bright.
Yeah.
That I'm ready. I am ready to eat it, even though it is not the right season for all the flavors I'm describing. Still ready.
No, that sounds like a lovely little burst of summer.
In our dreary winter day that we're having here.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This is absolutely the kind of weather that makes me want to just like build a pillow fort and like live inside of it, which a friend just pointed out, I could probably easily podcast from inside a pillow fort.
You could.
You know, it would be sort of ideal.
Yes. I remember in the early days of the pandemic, NPR posted an article that was like, if you got a podcast from home, put up some pillows. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Will do.
But artichokes, yes, so delightful. I didn't have much experience with them. I don't think I had any experience with them growing up until I was in college, and then a friend introduced me to eating the big ones where you scrape the little bit of flesh off the big petals, or bracts, as they are more botanically called. But I'm more fond of the baby artichokes. I love those. I love those. I love those. And I also bought some in preparation for the cravings. And
yes.
I like just adding them to like whatever pasta I'm cooking, and not directly to the pasta, like to the sauce, to the sauce part. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for you and for me.
Yeah.
Also, this episode has alerted me to the fact that some people like do a soft fry of artichokes, and that's gotta happen too.
Oh yeah, yes.
What have I been doing?
I don't know. we have spoken about vaguely related plants before, so you can see our sunflower episode for more information. Strangely enough.
I love it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Which I guess brings us to our question.
It certainly does.
Artichokes. What are they?
Well, an artichoke is a type of multi-flower bud structure that is eaten as a vegetable, even though it, like, really doesn't want you to. Like, lots of plants have evolved specifically to be eaten as part of their genetic plan, and artichoke is not one of them. The parts of an artichoke that we eat are the flower support structures, including the bracts, which are sort of specialized leaves that protect the flowers inside. We might eat artichokes when they are young and tender. These are sometimes referred to as artichoke hearts. Or when they are older and more structural, in which case we're really just scooping like a tiny bit of flesh off of the center of the bracts and then eating that base, which is confusingly also referred to as an artichoke heart. Anyway, artichokes have this like really lovely herbal tart bitter flavor that is so bright and sort of citrusy or almost like tomato-y in a certain way. The hearts, the baby artichokes, are sort of like a tart Brussels sprout. And the older ones are their whole own thing. In practice, it's almost like eating like steamed mussels or something, because like you're just getting this tiny little bit of food off of this naturally grown spoon. Yeah. They're like if a really good tomato was leafy and hated you.
Respect. Respect artichoke.
Right?
But you're so good.
But they're so good. So worth it. So worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Botanical name, Cinerea cardunculus, which is a great botanical name.
Yes.
Artichokes are part of the Asteraceae, or daisy, or sometimes it's called the sunflower family. And I do find a sunflower to be a really useful visual comparison here. Okay, just the same way that a sunflower has like a big flat disc that hundreds of tiny flower heads and seeds develop on top of, with a ring of different petals around the head, so does an artichoke. Also, just out of saying, both artichokes and sunflowers do grow their flowers and bracts in Fibonacci spirals. So, fun math.
Cool.
But in an artichoke, that disc upon which the tiny flowers grow is protected by these huge, structural, stiff, like scale armor. Like bracts or leaves, yeah, that are deep green to purple in color and will grow up in that rosebud-style spiral around the disc, forming a sort of a hollow-tipped scepter, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as the artichoke develops, the bracts get stiffer and larger, and each will be tipped with a spine. And this is meant to protect the tiny flowers inside as they develop. If left alone, eventually the wee flowers will develop into these long, colorful threads, often bright violet in color, so vivid. And then, if pollinated, each will form this stiff little seed with a stiff little thread attached, which let it drift away on the wind like a dandelion seed. But we eat them before they get to this point. Those flower threads are stiff, like stick-in-your-throat sort of things. So we either eat baby artichokes before they've had a chance to develop, or we carefully work around them. So a full-grown artichoke will have this fleshy base with these little developing hairs and then these big bracts, sometimes called petals, coming up off of it. And so if you cook the whole thing and then pull a bract off, it'll have just a little bit of that flesh at the base of the petal. When they are older like that, the most common way to eat them is to steam or roast them whole. And then, yeah, pull off each individual petal and scrape the tender inner bit off with your teeth, perhaps after having dipped it in melted butter or some other kind of dipping sauce. Yeah.
Mm.
Sometimes you might stuff the whole artichoke with breadcrumbs or something before you roast it. And then after you pull off all of the bracts, you're left with just the tender base. You just have to scrape off the little spiny bits, and then you can eat the little tender heart of the artichoke.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
That's really good. It's really good. When they're immature, you have a little bit more leeway because, yeah, they're not as fibrous and they can be cooked up the way that you would any other kind of like firm leafy vegetable. Think like a cabbage or like a Brussels sprout or maybe a leek, something like that. So, yeah, you can do them steamed, sautéed, roasted, fried. It does seem like everyone on the planet who is really into artichokes agrees that the very best way, which apparently you have been missing, Annie,
I know,
is to like very lightly bread them and then deep fry them and serve them with like some kind of creamy sauce for dipping.
Oh gosh, yes.
if you are in Atlanta, there's a chain of pubs called Corner Tavern that do an appetizer of fried artichokes in this style. It's a whole giant, it's a ludicrous number of them on a plate, yeah. And I will eat the entire thing.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right for Corner Tavern, but noted. Thank you for the tip.
Yeah. baby artichokes are also often preserved, either pickled or marinated and canned. You can also get them frozen, which I love. And generally, an artichoke is considered a savory food because it's got that bitter note, and also they're kind of quite tart. But especially at a festival, you might find artichokes blended or infused into desserts like cheesecake or ice cream or cupcakes. You know, they do have that tartness. Like, I can see it working if you're careful.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
They are known for being one of the few foods that doesn't really pair well with a lot of wine because they are so tart. Uh-huh. But I would say that a dry acidic white wine is real nice.
Yeah. I mean,
you can, yeah.
Drink what you like. Eat what you like.
Oh, sure. Eat what you like. Both. I can't tell you what to do.
Exactly. I think you can make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what about the nutrition?
By themselves, artichokes are pretty good for you. You know, lots of micronutrients, lots of fiber. Once you dip them in butter or deep fry them and then dip them in like ranch dressing, that's a separate issue.
Gosh, but a delicious issue. Delicious one.
Yes.
Well, we do have some numbers for you.
We do.
All right. So here in the U.S., California grows about 100%. Yep. Of our artichokes. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. In 2017, the California artichoke crop was worth about $65 million.
But globally, the United States is only number 12 in terms of artichoke production. Italy, Egypt, Spain, China, and Peru produce the most in that order. Artichokes are also grown to produce medicinal extracts, which have been popular in Europe kind of forever, but never caught on here in the U.S. As of 2014, though, artichoke extracts were the third most popular herbal supplement in like several European countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
At the center of the California artichoke business, though, is Monterey County and a town called Castroville, sometimes called the artichoke capital of the world. It is home to the self-proclaimed world's largest artichoke, which is a concrete sculpture that is about 20 feet tall and 12 feet wide. That's like 6 by 3.5 meters. Each petal is like 5 or 6 feet wide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Monterey hosts an annual artichoke festival every June. 2022 was its 62nd year. Yeah. A few years ago, it got too big for Castroville to handle. So it's like in a nearby town. In addition to the food and the music and all of that, there is a quilt challenge, a car show, farm tours, a competitive artichoke harvesting race, yes, an eating contest, and an agro art competition. Agro as in agricultural, not as in aggressive.
But both could intersect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. this is sculptures made from fresh fruit and vegetables. And in this particular case, entries must be at least 60% fresh produce and 10% artichoke.
Oh, my gosh. Again, I want to see this movie where there's like the driving piano music as somebody like is doing calculations on a notepad, like drawing out this
Yeah, it could be like best in show, but with artichoke sculpture.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, we have a lot of good ideas, Hollywood. I don't know why you haven't contacted us.
This artichoke festival does have a mascot. His name is Ari. Ari the artichoke. He looks like a ninja turtle that's an artichoke.
Oh my God. Beautiful.
He's wearing like a little like purple mask and like a little purple sash. Mm. And yep.
It's glorious. I mean, I don't know. We need to do our food mascot episode because so many of these mascots are just a sight to behold.
It's hard. It's hard in podcasting. It's hard on audio. It's true. But we can make it work. Mm-hmm. The same festival also does host events at other times of the year, including a haunted house every October that, as far as I can tell, is not explicitly artichoke themed.
Oh, but I wish.
I know. They also have a charity golf tournament in November. It's all run by this nonprofit that seems like it really puts earnings back into like education and art support in the local community. In 2021, they raised $45,000. It seems nice. It seems good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they are not the world's only artichoke festival. There are at least three that I've read about in Italy. One outside of Rome has been running every April since 1951. And it also features an artichoke sculpture contest.
Key to the artichoke festival, it seems.
Love this. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the world record for the largest serving of cooked artichokes was achieved in 2018 in Spain with 1,150 kilos of, it appears to be, roasted artichokes. That's 2,535 pounds.
Whew.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. And the world record for the largest artichoke salad was achieved in 2019 in Peru. The salad weighed 784 kilos. That's 1,729 pounds, 9 ounces.
Yeah. Dang.
It was 58% artichoke by weight.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the salad was made up of peppers, carrots, green and black olives, and an unspecified salad dressing that I think was olive oil based.
Mm.
Yeah.
Unspecified salad dressing sounds very menacing. I like it. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, geez. Yep.
You know, if you saw an artichoke just hanging around and you didn't know what it was, they can look quite menacing. And
they do. They genuinely do. This is another plant that looks vaguely like Audrey, too.
Yes. And we are not the only ones that have thought that throughout history, actually.
No, not at all. And we are going to get into that history as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit, I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking health-aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with a note. We are not talking about the Jerusalem artichoke. That is a different episode. I did not know that was a thing, but it is a different thing.
Yes, it is a different thing. Not for today.
Not for today, no. But, artichokes are widely considered to be one of our oldest foods. They most likely originated in the Mediterranean. One of their ancestors, though, the North African thistle, still grows in the wild to this day. So it's one of those things that maybe popped up in multiple places at different times. Historians think they were first harvested by folks in the Middle East. Over 2,500 years ago, they made their way to Egypt and the surrounding area. At first, people were more likely to eat the leaves as opposed to the flower head, which is actually pretty common for a good portion of their history. The artichoke was popular by 70 CE in Rome and in Greece, though it was grown in that area before then. A popularity they enjoyed until the Roman Empire fell. Hmm. People at this time were still probably eating the leaves and the stems instead of the head of the flower, because, as you said, wasn't the easiest thing to eat.
Yeah, no.
No. It was used in things like salads. Wealthy Romans liked to eat artichokes, these leaves and stems, with honey, vinegar, and cumin, which sounds very nice.
Yeah.
Right? But it was very pricey for the time. Theophrastus and Dioscorides both wrote about artichokes and the potential medicinal uses of them, while Pliny described them as, quote, one of Earth's monstrosities. Which, honestly, if I was artichokes, I'd be like, thank you. Take that as...
Yeah, that is what I was going for. You're welcome.
I feel seen. But Pliny also touted the artichoke's many believed medicinal benefits as well, including increasing the chance of conception of a boy, which at this time was viewed as a positive thing.
All right.
Yes, indeed. I have a poem. You know we love food poems.
that was
published during the time of the Roman Empire about artichokes.
Okay.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Let the prickly artichoke be planted, which to Bacchus, when he drinks, is grateful, not to Phoebus, when he sings. This sometimes rises with a purple head, sphere-like, with scales close and compactly set, sometimes with myrtle hair and bended neck. It verdant grows, sometimes with pungent top, like pine tree cone. Expanded some appear. Sometimes 'tis like an osier baked shaped, with threatening prickles horrid. Sometimes pale, it imitates bracker signs, crooked leaves. Sorry. Oh, these old-timey poems.
Yeah, I was with it until those last couple lines, and then I would have to Google a number of those words.
Yes. Yes. Well, we can, based on context, guess that it's related to other things during this time that might have looked similar. But the whole poem feels very threatening, but also... respect, you know, again.
Yeah, very fond and very like that one might bite you. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we see you. We would like to eat you, but understand it's not the easiest thing. And speaking of, there is quite a Greek legend about the origin of artichokes.
Okay.
All right. So the story goes that one day Zeus, yes, that one, saw a beautiful young woman named Cynara, or Cynara, the botanical name, basically, when visiting Poseidon on the island of Zanari. And, of course, he set about seducing this mortal woman, offering to make her a goddess, And his head, of course, full of all of this extra marital relations he could have with her while his wife Hera was away. Mm-hmm. However, Kanara soon grew homesick, missed her mortal life and friends, so she snuck out to visit them. Zeus did not like this and threw her back to Earth, turning her into an artichoke as punishment.
Wow.
I know.
Man, the sheer number of things that folks were like, yeah, we've got that because Zeus Zeus was horny and then someone got mad about it. It's a lot of things.
I know. And there's a part of me, I don't know if I should be embarrassed about this, Lauren, but I tried to think of the true punishment of being turned into an artichoke. I suppose it would suck. You can't visit your friends or family that you wanted to. You're not a goddess anymore. But I was kind of like, what an interesting punishment.
I mean, yeah, because you're real pretty and you're also don't touch me.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, that's how I'd feel. I mean, at a lot of points, that's how I feel anyway.
We are all artichokes at some point in our lives. That's the truth of it.
Right?
Yes.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the popularity of the artichoke in Europe really didn't start to recover until the 1400s, when citizens of Florence, Italy, specifically, were really taken with artichokes.
Okay.
Though documentation shows that they were being grown in Spain during the 800 CE, at least. Both of these instances of artichokes in Europe are believed to have been introduced by Arab traders and peoples, which I couldn't really find a lot of information about that. We've spoke about that before, the kind of just a lot of information about what was going on in Europe, but not so much outside of Europe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is when we see the emergence of the type of artichoke with an edible flower head that we're more familiar with. From there, these artichokes were adopted by nearby regions fairly quickly, perhaps particularly France, where they were common by the 1500s. Artichokes were probably introduced to England in the 1600s. Around this time, too, the Spanish sometimes used an extract from dried artichoke flowers to curdle milk for cheesemaking. And from what I understand, still is a practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of European cookbooks started including recipes using artichokes in the 1600s, from pies to just simply boiling them, with one recipe even claiming that they went well with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
See?
Okay.
See?
Huh.
Oh, my. I love this. I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Italian Renaissance painter Caravaggio, who I guess was a bit of a reputation for being combative, once got into a tussle with a waiter over artichokes. And according to the waiter's statement to the police, which is in the historical record, quote, "I brought them 8 cooked artichokes, 4 cooked in butter and 4 fried in oil. The accused asked me which were cooked in butter and which were fried in oil, and I told him to smell them, which would easily enable him to tell the difference. He got angry and, without saying anything more, grabbed an earthenware dish and hit me on the cheek at the level of my mustache, injuring me slightly. And then he got up and grabbed his friend's sword, which was lying on the table, intending perhaps to strike me with it. But I got up and came here to the police station to make a formal complaint."
Wow.
There's a part of me that thinks this can't be true, but there's a part of me that it's hard. I can see it happening. I can
see
it.
It seems just exactly petty enough to be accurate.
Exactly.
It's like reading Reddit posts and you're like, is this for real or?
Right. Right. Like, I can't envision it in my circle of friends.
Sure.
But I'm given to understand that it does happen sometimes, things like this.
Yeah. You're like, no, I can't get the fingers right. I just poof. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I love to imagine the idea. What throws me off the most is that he pulls the sword and then the waiter, from what we're to understand, runs from the restaurant straight to the police station.
Oh, yeah. If a famous and famously combative artist came at me with a sword as a waiter, I would definitely go straight to the police station. Yeah. That's relatable. Also, I guess good time to note, hey y'all, like if you're dealing with service industry humans during these our holiday times, mm-hmm. be nice to them. They're working so hard. And they, you know, if they ask you to smell your own artichokes, do it.
Smell your own artichokes is our next shirt. Wow. Perfect. But yes, 100%. Don't pull a sword on your service people.
Don't. Or,
don't,
you know,
throw dishes at them.
Yeah.
It's okay. Smell your artichokes. It's okay.
Yeah, smell your own artichokes.
It's going to be great. Okay, moving on.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Catherine de' Medici fact of the episode.
Awesome.
Okay. As with many things, she often gets credited with boosting the popularity of artichokes in the 1500s in Europe when she introduced them to French King Henry II. A chronicler wrote in 1576, "The Queen Mother ate so much she thought she would die and was very ill with diarrhea. They said it was from eating too many artichoke bottoms and the combs and kidney of cockerels, of which she was very fond." Look, chroniclers. If this is my situation, I just don't need you to talk about my diarrhea based on artichokes, okay?
Yeah, you can leave that one out of the history books. Yes. You have my permission.
Yes, unless I say otherwise, no need.
Yeah.
No need. That same year, the Book of Nature included this quote about the artichoke. "It has the virtue of provoking Venus for both men and women, for women making them more desirable and helping the men who are in these matters rather tardy." Hmm.
Goodness.
I know. And in fact, some sources I found indicated that in the 16th century in Europe, women were discouraged from eating artichokes due to the fact that they were perceived to be an aphrodisiac. Wow. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of throw my arms up at that one, but okay.
Yeah.
Washington and Jefferson grew artichokes, and Jefferson used the keyword artichoke as part of his cipher for his correspondences with Lewis and Clark. And there's a whole website about it where you can read about it. It was very interesting. But,
oh, it's fascinating.
Artichoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. French immigrants bought artichokes with them to the U.S. in the 1800s. And at first, artichoke cultivation was pretty localized to Louisiana in the U.S.
Hmm.
But with the help of Italian immigrants growing artichokes in the U.S. in the 1900s, the U.S. commercial artichoke market really started to take off, especially in the 20th century. Much of it was in California. One big name in this conversation is that of California landowner Andrew Malera, who in 1922 leased some of his land previously set aside for growing sugar beets, which, hey, we have an episode about that,
mm-hmm.
So that Italian immigrants could grow a, quote, new vegetable, artichokes, mostly because the crop was pretty lucrative.
Yeah. And this was in the aforementioned Castroville.
Yes. And then something else that I was like, this is a whole other episode, but I'm going to mention the briefest thing here. In the 1920s, member of the mafia Ciro Terranova Whitey earned the name the Artichoke King when he cornered the artichoke market by buying up all of the shipments from California meant for New York and selling them at a 30 to 40% profit.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like harass suppliers and growers. He had artichoke crops destroyed. This eventually led to then New York mayor to declare, quote, the sale, display, and possession of artichokes illegal. However, as a big fan and with dropping profits, I'm sure there was a lot of other things going on, he crumbled pretty quickly and lifted the ban. So after, in fact, I read in some place in a week, I think. So I don't know.
Wow.
It seems like it was sort of maybe a political thing and it didn't work out. So.
Yeah. But still, food crime.
Artichoke food crime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this either. In 1947, Marilyn Monroe was named the inaugural artichoke queen at the Castroville Artichoke Festival in Castroville, California. As you said, the artichoke center of the world.
from what I understand, this was an honorary title. She did not participate in a pageant.
Yeah, a lot of the head titles were, not head titles, a lot of the headlines were very passive aggressive almost. It was interesting.
It's one of those stories that does sound so apocryphal. And I've seen, I've read in so many different ways of like how exactly this happened, that it sounds like one of those stories that just got made up and then distributed strangely through weird games of telephone. And I think some of that telephone thing is happening, but there's totally a photo of her with this sash. So.
Yeah. I too thought, am I being bunked in my food podcast research? No. Well, you can look it up.
There are some even like ties like back to this whole mafia situation. Yeah. Like the way that some stories tell it, they're like, well, they had to hire Marilyn Monroe to come out and like smooth over this whole artichoke kerfuffle.
It's a whole thing.
I think that one is apocryphal. But she wore a sash at some point. She did. So, anyway.
She did. I guess the implication I got for most of the passive aggressive, what felt passive aggressive things I read was she didn't win it. She was given it through various nefarious purposes. There was an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
But, you know, listeners, if you have any information, you could crack this case.
Yes.
Which, speaking of,
okay,
artichoke dip. I couldn't find too much about it. I admittedly did not dig too hard, but and I bet we could do a whole dip episode, including artichoke dip later. But spinach and artichoke dip, which, if you're not familiar, is kind of a creamy artichoke spinach dip, is delicious. Took off in the U.S. in the 1950s when Americans were all about finger foods and dips and chips. And I bet like our fondue episode was kind of going on.
I've tried to look into it a couple times because I've tried to I feel like every time we do like a Super Bowl related episode, like that's one of the subjects that kind of comes up. And I don't think there's enough for a full episode, but we could certainly do a mini episode about that. Because, right, like, and I think that it really comes down to, like, a frozen spinach producer was like, hey, mix this with sour cream and maybe this other tart stuff and maybe some, like, ranch powder, and it's a dip now. And people were like, yeah, it's a dip now. Yes. As far as I can tell, that's the whole story.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who always shows up with spinach and artichoke dip, and it's one of those like very specific defining details that makes me love people and friends.
Yeah. Oh. It's I love this stuff. It's so like comforting and like nostalgic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
California named the artichoke their official state vegetable in 2013.
I'm so impressed by this because for everything, For all of the produce that California has going on, it really means that they are serious about this artichoke stuff.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I had a similar reaction. I mean, it's impressive. Yeah. I think that's what we have to say about the artichoke for now.
I think it is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit, I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with I feel like those kind of creepy opening flowers in movies, they like slowly open like that, and then the tongue darts out. That's the vibe artichokes give me in a way that I like.
Yeah. Or maybe they've got an eyeball inside.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, I love a flower with an eyeball. Yeah.
Me too. I do. Your description earlier of like the scepter top, I think that's on point. We could make a really good like living sculpture, I guess, costume of produce involving artichokes. Because I think you can make like a crown out of the leaves and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And some of the, right, a lot of the sculptures that I saw when I was reading about these festivals that feature these sculpture contests, have the petals or bracts pulled off and then used like scales to create like animal shapes or stuff like that. So, oh, really cool, really beautiful.
Yes, I'm going to look that up later. But in the meantime, Kelsey wrote, my family and I are blessed with a large, mature hazel tree in our backyard and another across the street next to an alley in our neighborhood. Ours produces longer, slightly narrower nuts. The neighborhood tree produces chubbier, shorter nuts. Both shapes are delicious. We are currently in the middle of processing the approximately 100 kilogram of nuts we harvested from the two trees. There is a reason these delectable morsels are pricey. Our first round of by-hand processing yielded over 1 kilogram of roasted hazelnuts. But this was accomplished after several weeks of in-shell drying and a handful of hours of shelling. From there, it's an easy-peasy 20 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for approximately $40 worth of crunchy tree butter. Now to do it 100 more times. Attached are pictures of the hazelnuts in question. The jar was once so full I could not lid it. Snacks have been had. And our dog, Hazel. Yes, she is named after the tree and the snack.
Oh.
And Hazel's super cute, of course.
Wow.
Yeah, this is amazing.
That's a lot of hazelnuts.
It is
an overwhelming, conceptually overwhelming amount of hazelnuts.
It is. And it is a lot of work, I can see, to get, some tree butter, as you said, crunchy tree butter. But I bet it's delicious.
And yeah.
I have no experience with this. So this is super cool to hear from you. It did remind me of, I play a lot of Mario Party, and there is a Mario Party board where it's Peach's birthday cake, and there's a juncture where you have to choose a nut in hopes that Bowser, you won't draw Bowser's attention.
Okay.
And they always reminded me of hazelnuts, but some of them are kind of like chubbier and some of them are thinner and longer. So that's what I thought of when I read this.
Huh. Yeah. Oh, and it did occur to me, Annie, that I'm nearly positive that you have, in fact, had a whole hazelnut before. Because have you ever had a Ferrero Rocher one of the candies that's like they're in the little golden wrappers, and they're maybe about an inch and a half across, and they're like a little like bonbon, like a little round bonbon, and then there's like a chocolate layer and then a crunchy layer and then some hazelnut cream and like a whole hazelnut inside. They're commercials come out every holiday season, like especially around like Christmas and New Year's, as like a, this is the fanciest party candy you can ever fancy party with. but in a very like Italian, like in their champagne in the background kind of way.
Oh my. Okay. I probably have. It's not ringing any bells, but I probably have.
I feel like if you had had one, it would, there would be a bell, but
bells would be ringing.
Oh no.
Yep. Sorry.
Ooh, well, Danielle wrote, I'm from northern New Jersey. I grew up in Jersey City, and the only type of pork roll at our supermarkets growing up was Taylor ham. Or maybe that's all my family bought, brand loyalty. It's the only kind I will buy. I have since moved away from my hometown, but I'm still in New Jersey, and I'm a little behind on my podcast listening, but saw this episode on the menu. See what I did there? And went to our local ShopRite, which is one of our local supermarkets, and only found cases. I didn't buy it. I'm a Taylor Ham girl through and through. As for the taste, it's salty, tangy. The texture is soft and chewy, but not like bacon. Bacon is stringy. This is more like a thinly sliced meatloaf. Yes, you do have to cut slits in it. I've never requested slits. The local deli knows better. And when you order, it's Taylor ham, egg, cheese on a roll with salt, pepper, ketchup, all one word. We are in New Jersey. We ain't got time for grammar. Anyway, an ex-boyfriend of mine and I would argue about it as he called it pork roll. In his defense, he lives in some imaginary place called Central New Jersey. I kid. And Central New Jersey is another thing us New Jerseyans argue about. As for my grandma's tomato soup cake, I was talking with my mom about it. My mom said she made it with tomato soup at some point, but just switched to a spiced cake mix as it was easier for her. But the magic was the icing. A whole container of chocolate icing and a whole bar of Philadelphia cream cheese. Had to be a Duncan Hines cake mix, too. She would soften the cream cheese and dump the icing into a bowl and beat with a hand mixer. If you knew she made it, you didn't tell anyone because everyone would come over and have a piece. And I don't mean a small piece. I mean like an Italian grandma-sized piece. Anyway, have a happy holiday. Look forward to writing in again soon. P.S. Come to New Jersey. We have an incredible food scene here. And you can get a Taylor ham, egg, cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup.
Sold. Sold. We asked for people to write in about how you order it and you delivered.
That is wonderful.
It is. It's so specific and local and the brand loyalty throughout.
Because
you've also got Duncan Hines cake mix in here.
I love the Philly cream cheese. I've never ordering salt and pepper on a sandwich is never something I've done, but I know that it's a thing that you do with deli sandwiches, and I especially love the combination of it with ketchup here. And that is the way to do it. That's great.
Yeah. And I like that there's this kind of understood, like, I don't need to ask for the slits. We know that's what's going down.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, because otherwise it curls up and then, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm determined to try this. I actually looked the other day. I didn't see any. I saw a product that I think is a, I could be wrong, but I think was a Southern attempt at it.
Okay.
It had some vague language. I was like, maybe that. Maybe, but I'm determined to try it. I'm determined.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ham products in the South.
This is true.
But I don't think, like, because this is, again, right, like more like a meatloaf kind of situation or like a bologna situation. That, and I'm so sorry. I know that some of you are, like, yelling at me all over again. I'm saying that it is similar in texture and formation, not that it is the same product.
Yes. Careful, Lord.
I'm trying to be. But yeah, no, I've never seen that kind of thing. Like, most of our ham products are more like whole smoked ham products. So
yeah, well, we'll keep looking.
Your
invitation is noted. I love this further debate about Central New Jersey. And I also love that your grandma switched out the tomato soup cake.
yeah.
With the spice cakes mix. That's so funny. It's great.
All of this. Thank
you. All of it. Yes. Thank you. Thanks to both of you for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Saver are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.